Good morning. Please turn to John chapter 10, verse 40. Very short passage we'll be looking at today, just three verses from the Gospel of John. As you turn there, maybe take a moment to ask yourself, what chapter are you at in your story? What are the places that are most important to you right now? Where is your community at? John chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. He went away, that is Jesus, went away again across the Jordan to the place where John the Baptist, had been baptizing at first. And there he remained. And many came to him and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is amongst us, would work in us faith and hope and love. Work in us understanding of your message, of your word, centered in the person and work of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So whenever I mention a movie, that does not mean I am immediately advocating that you go home and pay the $4 on whatever to watch it. It means it has a good parallel message that's helpful for us. And I do think that you could consider watching the film Surrogate. It came out in 2008. Surrogate is a film about surrogates. It's a film about a time in the future when human beings no longer need to leave their homes. They can control robots just with their minds. And the robots will do whatever they want them to do. The robots actually can look like them, but they can look like their ideal self. You know, the Tim without the dad bod, right? Without the receding hairline. That Tim, right? He gets to be out in the world, and that Tim gets to go and get breakfast at a local diner. Maybe meet somebody. Another surrogate, controlled by a real person in their room. Looks a lot like Dorothy. Of course, she'll look exactly like she looks because she's perfect as she is. But that's the life that's then lived. That life is lived, that the coffee is, the surrogate goes and gets coffee. The surrogate goes to the office. The surrogate goes to school. The surrogate is in a community of other surrogates, other robots, and they listen to the teacher, and they have lunch together in the lunchroom, and all of it's being controlled by children and adults sitting in rooms by themselves with wires in their heads, where people can live their best life now, their ideal life out in the world, but not really have to go out into the world. They never have to go to a certain place. Their place is always right where they are in their home. They never have to really engage with real people. They just engage through their surrogate. They don't really have a life story. Their robot has a life story. Now, obviously, this isn't good. And we could all think about why this isn't good, but maybe it's also obvious to you that there are some foreshadowings of this in our own lives today. You don't actually have to go to a place to go to work. Right? Anyone realize that? Some of you aren't going to a place to go. I mean, you're going to your dinner table, grabbing a cup of coffee in your sweats to go to work. Maybe going to your bedroom to go to work. Maybe spending some of your time at work in the bathroom. Right? But we don't have to leave our homes to go to a place to live our lives. We don't have to leave our homes to meet with other people. We can meet with them on a computer screen. We have foreshadowings of this very thing in our own lives. In the life of the internet age. And there's many good things about the internet. Don't get me wrong. But we need to be aware that there are some things that could be lost that we too easily can discard in the wastebasket and think they really weren't worth that much after all. In the movie Surrogate, there was a prophet, a sort of prophet. And he led small groups of people who would create surrogate-free zones where they could really engage with real people in real places with a real life story. And that prophet even begins the whole movie by saying, "This isn't how God made us to be." We have a real prophet, a living prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, who not with so many words in this passage, but by the evidence of his life, teaches us the same thing. Not to forget the importance of a real life story. Not to forget the importance of places, real places, not on a computer screen, not in a video game, not through Oculus, real places. And a prophet who shows us the importance of community, real people. It says here in verse 40, Jesus went away again. And that one word, inspired by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John, the word again, says a lot. Jesus right now is at the end of his public ministry, you could say. Ever since he came forth to be baptized by John in the wilderness on the other side of the Jordan, Jesus has gone somewhat public, doing miracles, speaking openly. And very early on, people began to plot to put him to death. And the tension rose and rose throughout the story. People began picking up stones to kill him. And now, in chapter 10, where we are today, Jesus is on the verge of the next chapter in his life. And it is a difficult chapter in his life. It is the chapter in which he knows it will end with him nailed to a cross. No, in fact, it will go beyond that. It will go lower than that. He will be put into a grave to rot. This is at least what his enemies wanted. And this is where the next chapter is going. But I want you to notice what Jesus does as he looks at the next chapter of his life, as he looks at potential, as he looks at certain suffering and difficulty. He goes back. He goes back into his story. He goes back into his real life story. He goes back to the moment of his baptism, a significant chapter opening itself. Not only a significant chapter in his life when he began his public ministry, but a significant chapter in the life of all of humanity. Jesus could have just thought about the moment he was in. He could have just thought about the difficulty ahead. He could have just sort of marched into it, not looking back, but only moving forward. But here it is, Jesus, who is called the wisdom of God in the Bible. And the wisdom of God is not simply to live life well in the moment, not simply to move forward into the future, but it is also wise to go back into our story and to remember the other times. Do you ever do that? We live in a very, very busy world where it is easy to never go back, but to constantly flip from one screen to the next, from one news item to the next, from one TikTok to the next, and never to go back, never to reflect, maybe never to even realize that chapters are beginning and ending in our lives. And Jesus shows us that it is wise to slow down and to go back and to reflect on other times in our life, other times of importance, good times. This was a good time in Jesus' life when the heavens were rent. God sent His Spirit upon Jesus to dwell and abide upon Jesus and His friend, His cousin, as it were, John the Baptist, baptizing Him. This was a happy moment. Do you ever go back and reflect on your baptism if you've been baptized? Do you ever go back and reflect on times of deep communion with God? Do you ever go back and reflect on difficult times? Chapters in your life that went wrong? Do you ever go back? The wisdom of God goes back as well as goes forward. In fact, as Jesus is thinking about moving forward, that's precisely what He does. It's time to go back and to reflect. Some of you are seniors in high school. You've got a lot of homework right now. And you also have college applications. Maybe you're applying to several colleges all at once. And it's easy to be in the moment to get the work done. It's easy to be looking forward to what's ahead. And my encouragement to you is to also, in this chapter, as this chapter is ending, to go back. Take some time to reflect on significant moments in your past, to remember who you are in Christ, to remember your baptism maybe, to remember those who've told you about the Lord in your life. I encourage you to simply be aware of the wisdom of going back. But it's not just that. Jesus gives us more wisdom in a world that needs it. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first. Jesus doesn't go back mentally, as good as that can be. Jesus doesn't just go back journaling, as good as that can be. Jesus doesn't just go back speaking with somebody about my past, as good as that can be. Jesus goes back to a place. A place, not a space. I'm not talking about an online space that is created. He goes back to a earthy place that has water, that has ground, that has dirt, that has palm trees, that has plants, that has a smell, that has sounds of animals. Jesus goes back to a place. You're like, Pastor Tim, why are you telling me that? Because that's what Jesus did. And in an online, modern world, where we can live our lives through screens, we can forget that it's wise to go back to significant places in our lives, particularly as we're facing new challenges or even new joys. Where was the place of your baptism? Have you considered going back there to be with the Lord? Where is your father's grave? Have you considered going back there with the Lord? Where is your first home where so many good things happened? Where is that place that you were abused, mistreated, beat up? Have you considered going back there to meet the Lord? He will meet with you. Places matter. You'd be surprised if you go back to those places, the kinds of things that well up inside of your heart. But the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't just show us that going back is a way of moving forward. He doesn't just show us that it's wise to go back to those places of significance But he shows us that it is wise to do so in community. I've already mentioned it. Community with God. But you say, where is God? Verse 40. And there he remains. Remains. Now, I guess it wouldn't be a Presbyterian sermon if someone didn't use a Greek word, right? So I'll use one. The word is meno, to remain, to dwell. And maybe you've read John just enough to know he uses the word often, abide. This is a word that shows up throughout the Gospel of John. Go home and read John 15 this afternoon. It's a word that carries a lot of freight in the Gospel. What we see here is that Jesus is going back to remain. And in John chapter 1, we know that when he was in this place for the first time, somebody else remained. Do you know who that is? It was the Holy Spirit of God who came down from heaven like a dove and remained and abided on him. Jesus goes back to abide in a special way with God the Father and God the Spirit as the Son of God. Jesus doesn't go back into his story without God. Jesus doesn't go back to the places of significance without God. He goes back as the God-man to be with God and to commune with God in this significant time. And not only that, he also communes with others. Many came out to him and believed in him there. They believed in his words. They believed in the things that he had done. These are his people. This is his community. These are the ones in John 15 who abide in him like branches in a vine. It is us. And we learn from the wisdom of God that as we go back in our lives, as we go back to those places, as we reflect, we need to do that in community with the living God who has loved us and sent his Son to die for us that we might live. And to do so not just with God, Lone Ranger style, on a computer Zoom worship service, not interacting with real people, with all the rough edges that people have, but to do so in the community of God as well. To do so with real people, in real places, with real stories. This is the wisdom of God. And this is why Sunday matters so much. Because every week God has set it up that you will be in a significant place where many of you have been baptized right here. You can be in a significant place where joys have been tasted. And difficulties. And where God covenants with you and promises, I will meet you here every week. And we as a community covenant with one another that we will be here with one another every week to walk through this story that God has made us a part of. Even to enjoy a meal. A meal that certainly has a lot of story. From the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you, for the forgiveness of sins." On the night that he was betrayed, as he sat at table with those closest to him, he said, "Take this cup. The cup of my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for you. Take and drink, all of you.